For better or worse, children say and do some of the funniest things. According to my older sister Rebecca, when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I went around to every girl that I knew and asked them to marry me. I'm not sure what in the world was going on in my three-year-old mind. I'm not sure what set that idea in my mind, but I didn't appear to shy away from the idea. And as the story continues, as Rebecca tells it, everyone that I asked to marry me said no. But yes. As a child, I was trusting. I was naive. I lacked experience, and apparently I lacked any real sense of fear. Children speak and act openly and with a surprising amount of trust. I suspect we could probably go around the room and each share childhood stories that were maybe funny, or maybe we'd tell childhood stories from someone else's childhood. As we look back on our childhood days, we'll probably notice, or I'm sure we'll notice, that we've changed a great deal since we were children. My hope for us this morning is that we would recover part of our childhood. This morning we'll spend some time talking about speaking with an open heart. And so as we approach Scripture this morning, let's begin with prayer. Let's pray. Lord and sustainer of life, you love the little ones. You love the children. And so it is this morning, as children, that we come to you. As we approach your word to us, we ask that you would lead us and speak to our hearts and minds. Use your word to draw us ever deeper into fellowship with you. In Jesus' name and by your Spirit, amen. Over the past several weeks, we have spoken about prayer and the Psalms. We talked about prayer, the importance of prayer that remembers. Prayer that remembers what God has done for us in the person of Jesus, and also prayer that remembers what God has done in our particular lives over the past weeks and months and years. We've also talked about prayer that stands in the faithfulness of God, and how by standing in God's faithfulness, we'll be changed. Well, this morning I'd like us to continue our reflections in the Psalms and prayer. And today's psalm draws for us a picture of the covenant relationship between the Israelite people and God. And so if you would, turn with me to Psalm 32. We'll be reading the first five verses. The rest of the psalm will come into our conversation, but we'll not be reading them. So Psalm 32 in the first five verses. As we approach this psalm, I want us to take two questions and sort of keep these questions in mind as we're reflecting on the psalm. The first question is, who are these people who speak with God in this way? And the second question is, who is this God who hears them? So who are these people who speak with God in this way, and who is this God who hears them? This is Psalm 32. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. This psalm reveals to us a particular side of the covenant relationship between the Israelite people and God, between God and us. You may remember a few weeks ago we talked about the covenant between Israel and God being a lot like a marriage relationship with a deep level of commitment. And previously we also talked about standing in God's covenant faithfulness. And as we talked about that, we talked about how the covenant goes both ways. So God has responsibility towards us in this marriage relationship, and we have responsibility toward God in this relationship. So this psalm allows us to sort of listen in on this marriage conversation between two people, between the psalmist and God. And as we listen to this marriage conversation, I want us to ask this question. Who are these people who speak with God in this way? The psalmist begins by exclaiming what joy it is to receive forgiveness. And then the psalmist admits that he suffered a great deal seeking to hide his sin himself. But by seeking to hide his sin, He groans and wastes away in isolation under the great weight of his sin. And then the psalmist admits that it is only through confession that he receives forgiveness and is healed. The psalmist is a person who knows how greatly he has sinned and how greatly he needs forgiveness. The psalmist is a person who knows the importance of confession and who also knows how tremendously difficult it is to confess that we've been in the wrong. This psalm encapsulates the story and history of Israel, and so in a way the psalmist is also speaking for Israel. When Israel disregarded God's instruction, they wandered hopelessly in a wilderness for 40 years. For a full generation of people, they felt the heaviness of God's hand upon them. Many years later, exiled in a strange land as non-citizens, the prophet Jeremiah said this. He said, "God has declared Israel's wound is incurable, their injury beyond healing." The Israelite people's wound is deep and infected because they have ignored God. The covenant people are people who are broken, wounded, and dysfunctional. You may remember months ago when we talked about Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy of Matthew, and we talked about how it's a lot like a dysfunctional family. The covenant people are like the prodigal son, going their own way, getting lost, and losing themselves. The covenant people are a people who are desperately lost and who are in immeasurable need of being healed. About 6 months ago, I met a young man about my age. We were almost exactly the same age. I met him in a hospital. And for a week, I visited him every day for almost an hour. And we talked about a lot of different things. We shared different things from our lives. And he told me how he had been accepted to a large university. And in fact, he had even been given a full-ride scholarship to the university. And he was on his way to tremendous success. He was doing well. And then something happened. He got mixed up with the wrong crowd in college. And he got into drugs, and before he knew it, he was selling stuff on the black market in order to continue his habit. Well, when we met in the hospital, he was having trouble with his kidneys and liver, and he had lost his scholarship, and at this point, he was even homeless. He wasn't sure where he would go after he was discharged from the hospital. And as I continued to visit him, I discovered that he actually had family in the area as well. Well, that kind of puzzled me, because here he is in the hospital. He doesn't have a place to go afterwards. He's homeless, and yet his family and friends are in the area. So what gives? As it turned out, he didn't want to go to his family because he was ashamed of what he had done. He had such great promise, such great expectations, and he had squandered it. When I met him in the hospital, he had closed his heart to his family, and it left him alone in the hospital without anyone to contact. Throughout my conversations with this young man, I could tell that he knew he needed to reach out. And the social worker and I were working together to enable him to contact various friends and family in the area. And as much as I know that he wanted to reach out, he couldn't quite muster the courage, the strength to reach out. As I think back on my conversations with him, I find myself asking the question, who of us has ever felt too weary to open our heart? I imagine many of us at some point in our lives have simply been too worn down to open our heart to another. When we bottle up all that's weighing on us, all that is gnawing at us, we will grow only more weary and withered. We will become only more isolated, and as we become more isolated, our hearts will only grow heavier. But what makes the psalmist and the people of Israel, the covenant people, is that they do not remain there. The covenant people do not remain silent in their weariness and in their sin. The covenant people speak. They speak with God. They unload their burdens by confessing their hardness of heart. They open their hearts to God. The great German reformer of the 1500s, Martin Luther, said that saints and non-saints alike are all wounded. All have sinned, all are wounded. However, saints are people whose wounds have been bandaged, and non-saints are people whose wounds have not been bandaged. One of my favorite novels is Crime and Punishment. And in Crime and Punishment, the main character, we'll call him Mr. R, His Russian name is Raskolnikov, but that's kind of difficult to pronounce all the time. So Mr. R plans and commits a terrible crime. Now, after he commits the crime, he gets away with it. But then he becomes paranoid. He becomes paranoid of everyone around him because he's committed the crime, he's gotten away with it, but now he figures, well, if people don't know now, they're going to figure out later. So he's suspicious of everyone around him, and he's really paranoid until finally he isolates himself from everyone. He isolates himself completely and even grows sick. Well, one day, he finally decides that he needs to tell someone. So he tells a single person, and that person says, look, you have to turn yourself in. Well, he simply cannot do that until one day he collapses onto his knees and says, it was I. It was I who committed the crime. After he confesses his crime, he says that he was resurrected into new life. The suffocating air was no longer suffocating. He could breathe again. He was free. As the psalmist describes his experience, we discover that in order for us to experience healing in relationship, in order for our wounds to be bandaged, in order for us to be freed from our burdens, in order for us to receive forgiveness, we must open our hearts and speak. By opening our hearts, by speaking, by confessing, we will be liberated into the healing arms of God's forgiveness. The covenant people are a lost people, but they are a people who speak out of their lostness. Now we may wonder, why in the world Mr. R, why the young man in the hospital, why the psalmist, and why the rest of us wait to confess? Why do we wait so long until our hearts are so heavy and so worn down? Why do we wait so long? Hold on to that question, and we'll return to it in just a moment. Remember we said Psalm 32 allows us to listen in on the marriage relationship, the marriage conversation between the psalmist and God. And so as we listen in on this conversation, our second question, remember, is who is this God who hears these people? Who is this God of the covenant who hears these covenant people? In order to answer the question, who is this God, we have to remember the stories of God. After God promises to make Abraham into a great people, to bless the nations, and after his wife Sarah is barren, God provides them a son, Isaac. When the people Israel are wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, the God of the covenant literally provides them with food and water, sustaining their life. And years later, when the Israelite people are exiled, held captives as non-citizens in a strange land, the prophet Jeremiah says, God will watch over them for their own good, and he will bring them back to this land. In the midst of desperately hopeless and hellish circumstances, the prophet Jeremiah continues and says, God has not given up on his people. He has plans to prosper them and to give them a hope and a future. And in this psalm, after the psalmist suffers the weight of his burden and finally confesses his sin, it's the God of the covenant who forgives. This is who this God of the covenant is. The God of the covenant is the God who sustains, cares for, and forgives the barren, lost, rebellious, obstinate people of the covenant. The God of the covenant heals our wounds. Eugene Peterson, the translator of the Message Bible, puts it this way. He says, when we sin, when we mess up our lives, we find that God doesn't go off and leave us. God enters into our trouble and saves us. However, until we confess, we experience God's grace, God's desire for us to flourish as a convicting heaviness. What we fail to cover up, what we are tortured by when we fail to cover it up with quick fixes, what we fail to cover, God covers. And when God covers it, it is then we are set free. It is then that we experience both the relief and the joy of our sin being covered, being blotted out and forgotten. You may be familiar with C.S. Lewis's Narnia series. Maybe you've seen the movies, maybe you've read the books. Well, in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, four siblings enter into a world in which the powers of good and evil are embodied in by the good lion Aslan and the evil white witch. Well, the younger brother Edmund betrays his siblings, betrays Aslan, and Edmund decides that he's going to join forces with the white witch. Well, Edmund quickly realizes that this was a terrible fatal mistake, bad idea. He feels deep regret and wishes he could rejoin his siblings. But there's nothing to be done. Until late one night, Aslan forms an escape party, a rescue party. The good lion Aslan rescues Edmund, forgives him, and even takes Edmund's place as a prisoner of the White Witch. After Aslan returns Edmund to his siblings, Aslan says this to them. He says, "Here is your brother, and there is no need to talk to him of what is past." Aslan has forgiven Edmund, and so Edmund's wrongdoing has been blotted out and forgotten. There's no need to speak of what is past. Forgiveness is final. Now, I'd like us to pause there for a moment in order for us to return to that question that we've been holding on to. In reading Psalm 32, we may very well recognize that we ought to confess. But why does it take so long for the psalmist to confess to God? Why would the young man in the hospital not reach out for help? Why would Mr. R in Crime and Punishment not confess his crime? And why do we take so long in disburdening our hearts? Well, we may also ask, what is the difference between a child and an adult? The answer is a single word: experience. The difference between a child and an adult is experience. We adults have lived long enough to know how the world works. Unlike a child, we adults have endured much. We adults have lived long enough to grow suspicious and worry what others will think or what the consequences will be. We adults know the feeling of rejection. As adults, we guard our hearts cautiously out of fear, afraid of being found out. In contrast, a child will often speak openly, however hilarious or provocative the truth may be. You can count on a child to tell you when your hair is growing gray or you're balding. As adults, we try to cover the inconvenient, shadowy places. And this is precisely where it is so crucial for us to know who the God of the covenant is. When we open our heart in confession to the God of the covenant, we already know the outcome. God's relentless love will surround us. As we open our heart to God, God will indeed open his heart to us. Because this is the case, we can be naive and trusting like children. With the God of the covenant, even we adults can open our hearts to God like children because of who God is. In Matthew 18, Jesus says we must enter his kingdom as children. And this morning we discover that in prayer and confession to God, we can open our hearts and be trusting as we were when we were children, because the God of the covenant is faithful to forgive. We know the outcome, and so we need not fear to speak. As Christians, Psalm 32 takes us to the foot of the cross of Jesus, where we find forgiveness once and for all. And so the climax of the covenant for us is that God draws near to us in Jesus, to forgive us, heal us, and enjoy communion with us. However, we may very well become world-weary. We may be too worn down, and we may have experienced too much disappointment to trust someone enough to confide in them, to believe that they will be forgiving. Well, today, Psalm 32 reminds us that we can be as trusting as children. When we go before God, we can open our hearts as children, trusting God entirely with every piece of our hopes, disappointments, trusting God entirely with our achievements as well as our sins. We can speak with God with an open heart as children, knowing that our Father in heaven desires deeply to enjoy renewed relationship with us. Let's close in prayer. Lord of all knowledge and life, you humble us by calling us to approach you as children. Empower us with your Spirit that we might have the courage to come to you as children, confessing the dark corners of our hearts. Build in us trust that we might let our guard down as we speak with you. Thank you for remaining committed to us even as we get lost in the daily worries of life. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for your forgiveness. And may we continue to receive your forgiveness daily. In Jesus' name and by your Spirit, amen. Let's continue with our worship and thanksgiving to our God.